Good to see each and every one that's here this morning. We do have a good number, and I'm glad you're part of it. If you're visiting with us, certainly extend my welcome to you, and I hope we have an opportunity to greet one another before you leave. If you would, take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11 is where we're going to take a short reading before we get into our lesson this morning. I want you to join me there if you would. Verse number 11 begins this way, and it says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Quite a responsibility we have as we're set to shine no matter what we have to face, because that's why I began the reading in verse number 11. There's such difficulties that we can face in this life that it seems like it would be easier just for us to shut our light off and just walk around, you know, so that nobody knows. But let's talk about this idea of always shining on. You know, what are the very first words spoken by God recorded in the Scriptures? We know the narrative begins with, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," but the very first words that God spoke were, "Let there be light." God spoke forth and it says, "Let there be light." We know that this earthly life is sustained by light, the light of the sun. That's why God put it there. And that light brings us warmth to survive, and for our food it provides. And so we know that, but it also, we know that light is essential to our spiritual life. It's also part of that. Our spiritual sustenance is dependent on the light of truth. And so we look to that light. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus proclaimed that He was the light of the world. Now that's going to seem like it's a contrast between what we just read together in Matthew chapter 5 and what Jesus is saying, but bear with that idea just for a moment. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And He also included that the hope of that light, it was that those that would come to the light, those who would follow Him, should not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so the light of the world is the light of life, an opportunity for us not to only have the best life here, but also ultimately eternal life in heaven. But Jesus also said something in John chapter 9 and verse number 5. And I want you to take a look at that particular place, if you would. Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, that's interesting. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And that's kind of how I want you to read it. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying right there, isn't it? I mean, there's the words. And so if we look at that idea, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If anyone follows after me, he will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is no longer in the world. Jesus ascended on high. Luke chapter 24, Acts chapter 1, Jesus went home to heaven. So the question is, who has taken up the role of being the light of the world after Jesus returned home? Well, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, you and I have been given the responsibility to be the light of the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He was preparing us and getting us ready for that responsibility now. And so we don't have an opportunity. We cannot come along and say, "Well, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm only going to do it part-time, you know, just every once in a while." No, Jesus gave us the responsibility continuously that we would be the light of the world. And so let's consider our responsibility and the difficulty of being the light of the world, because there is difficulty in it. So we might be prepared to always shine on. It is our turn to shine. I want us to really put that in our minds. You think about that. When somebody has given us a task, have you ever been in a situation where you weren't sure if you could do it or not, but then you rose to the occasion and you accomplished what was set out before you? I think we've all had a measure of that in our lives. And I really think that's one of these situations where Jesus has given me a task. And I've got to rise up to meet that task. I've got to meet its responsibility. It is my turn to do this, you see. And that's what I need to embrace. I need to get a hold of that sense that when I know that I'm not just doing this because, well, it's just the thing to do. No, Jesus gave me this responsibility. It's my turn to shine. You know, Jesus, when He was here on earth, He shined the light of truth during His earthly life. And He was showing the world a better way than the darkness that they're wandering around in. You think about this. Even in that particular context that we read together, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was showing the people even then a higher standard, a better way to live, and a better standard to appeal to. He showed them the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. You think about some of those things. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. What do you mean, blessed are the humble? Well, but what about blessed are those that mourn? You know, those that go through difficulty and they break down. Blessed are they. Well, why is that? That's a different way of living. It's a different and a better way because of the blessings associated with it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. Jesus taught the necessity of knowing and doing the will of the Father in heaven. Matthew 7, 21. You know, when He said those words, not everyone goes to heaven except he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, I know that's kind of a modern twist on it, isn't it? But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The only question I have is, what is His will and how do I do it? Because I want to go to heaven. Jesus taught us that. He also taught us that seeking the will of God and seeking those things that God provides has to be our number one priority. You know, if you still got your Bible open to Matthew chapter number 5, because I want you to turn a page, because it's so often I kind of cite this passage. Oh, you know that, Matthew 6:33. But I want to refresh it in our minds. I really want this to be present, because if this lesson is going to work, this passage is going to have to be primary in our thoughts. Matthew chapter number 6, it really begins at verse number 25, but we have a lot of lesson to get through. I'm going to let you go ahead and read that on your own. But look what it says at verse number 32. For after all these things, these material things, okay, after all these things the Gentiles seek, or the rest of the world seeks, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So often we worry about the material things in this life, and it gets in the way of our spiritual pursuits. He said, put me first and you'll have what you need. We need to prioritize God number one. No exceptions. You know, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus prepared us to receive the responsibility of shining as a light. You know, and that's what He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. You are the light of the world. And we must take this responsibility seriously. And so here's the words. And I find these words rather intriguing. There's so many different ways to say, so shine, you know. You know, here's some darkness over here, so go over there and shine. You know, so shine. You know, kind of the idea. But it's not so much as, okay, now go do it. It's the amperage. It's the measurement of it. It's the volume of light. It's the expression of light. That's what He is. Because you have the responsibility to show mankind who wander in darkness, shine that much light. That's what He's getting at. And so when we look over there, we know this responsibility has to take a serious note, and I've got to look at myself, and I've got to make sure that I am doing what I am responsible to do. And so we have to evaluate, am I shining the way that I should? Am I showing others the light as I should be? You know, our example is our light. That's what it is. You can talk all day long, but if you don't do these things, no one's going to believe you. I mean, that's that classic case. What's that old saying? Do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. It never has worked. Why would anyone ever claim or glom onto that? I'm not going to do that. So our example is our light. So let's shine with this notion. I am the only hope of this world. Now that sounds kind of egotistical, doesn't it? A little bit. But I want you to take that serious note. I want you to know that maybe no one else is shining today. I need to shine. I need to let that light shine. I need to be that example for the whole world today. Everyone I come in contact with, I'm the only hope they've got. So I can't take the day off. You know, that's one of those things. We must not veil our faith in secrecy. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think back to when I was a young person growing up. Now, I got to explain something. This is kind of a short side note, and then whenever I tell you it's short, it's long. Anyway, so in Canada, it's rude to ask somebody what they do for a living. Like, that's the second question here. It's, hi, how are you? What do you do for a living? That's what we do here. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's our culture here, which is fine. In Canada, it's rude to do that because people are supposed to be people, not just their jobs. That's kind of the idea. I don't know if that's better or worse. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's a different culture. So I'm standing there at my graduation ceremony, and my dad, who's been a preacher for, I don't know, 30 years at the time or so, something like that. You know, my dad's been a preacher for a while, and full-time at least 20 years because I was like 17, so yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. But anyway, so there's my dad, and he's a full-time preacher, and he's doing the opening prayer at our graduation because my brother and I graduated the same year. And my friends go, wow, your dad sounds like a real preacher. Well, guess what? I had never told them that I was a PK. I'd never told anybody. I was a preacher's kid. They never asked what my dad did for a living, and I never told them. Was I shining? I don't know. I think all my friends knew that I was a Christian because there's a whole bunch of stuff they were doing I wouldn't do, you know? Unfortunately, sometimes when we're young, we have all kinds of friends that go all sorts of different directions. You know, I think I stay in touch with one out of all that bunch. But anyway, it's because I continue to be a Christian. But, you know, I wondered about that. I wonder if I was giving the right example growing up or not, you know, kind of an idea. But it's my responsibility. I need to shine. I need to be that person for everyone else around me. Our life's confession. You know, we talk about that. I get to the end of this sermon. If the Lord wills and we have enough time to finish this sermon and I offer the invitation, I am going to ask everyone in here if you're willing to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I'm looking for a statement. But it's way more than a statement. Your life's confession. Everything you do is the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is my hope. He is my assurance. That's why I confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want Him to confess me before the Father. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. You know, we must not cause or allow our light to be hidden. We can't hide our light. We've got to shine. You know, the true practice of Christianity is obvious, and especially today. And I know I can talk about especially today all day long, but it's my responsibility today. I can't do anything yesterday, and I don't know about tomorrow, but today I've got to shine. And I've got to shine in such a way that my Christianity is apparent, and it's not hard. It is not hard to make your Christianity apparent today because the world is anything but what they need to be. There is a distinction here, and it's glaringly obvious. You know, that's one of those things. I like light, and I don't like stumbling around in the dark. I just don't like it at all. I don't see very well anyway, and especially when I don't have my glasses or my contacts in. So when I go first thing in the morning and I flip those lights on, I don't know who invented the idea that you have to have bright light to put on makeup and stuff, but I tell you what, bathroom lights in the first thing in the morning, they kill me. You know, like, pow, you know? That's distinct. There's a distinct difference from my sleeping eyes and all of a sudden flipping the light switch on in the bathroom and having all of that going on. That's how glaringly different Christianity really needs to be sometimes. And it's not hard, especially in the darkness this world walks in, obvious. You know, shining is difficult. It puts us in a difficult place. And I want you to know that. And I understand the concept because I can stand up here all day long and say, go, be like Christians. It's easy. But it's not, right? We need to get that. It's so much easier for me to preach this lesson than it is to live this lesson. But we have to live it. We have to live these things. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I don't have the whole passage up there. I want you to look at it with me if you would, because he really talks about this idea that we are shining a light, we're offering the world a light, but it's a world that's corrupt and it's a world that doesn't want it, and poses difficulty for us. Look over with me at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want you to see, beginning at verse number 1, we're going to read down to verse number 6 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 1, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There are going to be people that are blinded by this world. They don't want to see the light. They have blocked themselves from it. They have guarded themselves from the light. It is going to be a difficult situation for us to do our responsibilities or meet our responsibilities. There will be resistance to the light that we shine, just as they resist the source of that light, Jesus, John chapter 8, verse number 12. Not everyone wants Jesus today. Did you know that? You know, you think about something, you come along and somebody says, well, I just can't hardly stand M&Ms. I'm shocked. I really am. I'm shocked. I'm like, what? That's incredulous to my mind that somebody cannot like M&Ms. And I don't care what's in the middle of them as long as it's chocolate, you know? But I can't believe that. Do you have the same response when somebody says, I just can't stand that Jesus? It's about the same, you know? Sometimes we have these favorites and we have this notion. It's always been my way, and I'm kind of shocked when somebody doesn't agree. You know, but there's not everybody likes Jesus. Not everybody in the world wants His light. Not everybody wants to know about Him. Our responsibility is to talk about Him, share Him. That's what we read together in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. That it's our responsibility that God, the same God that said, let there be light, says, let there be light now. And that's my job, to let the light shine. Not everybody wants the light. The light we shine is the light of life. John chapter 3, verse number 16. Almost everyone while you're turning over there can quote it. I know you can, but do you read past that verse? Because I want you to look at it with me if you would. John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse number 16 is where we're going to begin, but we're going to keep reading, which is something we hardly ever do. Keep reading past verse 16. Look what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, God so loved the world that He sent His Son to give the light. Not everyone wanted it. And we have that same difficulty today because we're the ones that are shining the light today and not everyone wants it. Today's world wants to pretend that sin is a better way. You know, personal expression, I've just about had my fill on that. You know, I've just got to be myself. Can't you be yourself and fear God and keep His commandments? I mean, that's a contradiction. Somewhere in there, you've got to discover Galatians 2:20. You've got to do that. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You know, this whole idea, I've just got to be myself. I'm sorry. Get out of your own way. You're going to be lost. All right? Well, what's the other thing? Self-direction. I'm tired of people telling me where to go, what to do, and all those things. I tell myself. Good luck with that. You know? The problem is, those are hallmarks of our society. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that don't want to curtail self, that don't want to do anything but tell themselves which way is which. We've lived to see a time when things that are famously sinful, I mean, almost across the board, people would agree were wrong, are now not wrong. They're not just not wrong. They're like protected and paraded, you know? I mean, you think about the amount of time. When I first started preaching, I couldn't say things like this, but I can say it now. In my lifetime, things have changed so much. I mean, there are just things that were not spoken of in 1970 that now are like, well, they're enlightened. You know? Crazy what we've come to see. But this world is filling itself with darkness and it making it more and more difficult for the light to shine. But you know, this is a today problem, but it's not only today. And that's one of those things we keep in mind. 2,700 years ago. Try to fathom that for a moment. 2,700 years ago, Isaiah the prophet found that there were people then trying to blot out the light, the true light. They didn't want anything to do with it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20. It's one of those classic memory verses as well. But woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, that's what we're dealing with still. Nearly 3,000 years and man hasn't changed. There's still those that don't want anything to do with the light of truth. Not much has changed. But today's issues, they're ours to deal with. I can't fix anything back then. I have to deal with what we're facing with today. So I need to shine on. For the hope of salvation, shine on. You see, there's no other way. You can't just flip the switch and turn it off when you're in certain crowds or doing certain things and then flip it back on just in time to come in this building. You can't do that. You got to shine on. Always, consistently, that's what we need to do. You know, if the souls of our friends, if we count them as friends, if we're going to be a true friend, we're going to try to save their soul. Our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow man, if they're going to be saved, you tell me who's going to do it. You tell me who's going to direct them toward the truth of the Word of God. Who is going to show them the light? We need to shine for them. We need to shine on. Jesus, again, gave us responsibility. Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we're looking for. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Romans 1:16. You know, if the souls of our family, our children, our grandchildren are going to be saved from this darkness, we need to shine on. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 4. We need to hold fast to the light for our own souls. I need to be saved one day as well. And I've got to hold fast to the light so that I need to continue to shine on. No matter what we face, we started this lesson with a reading from Matthew chapter 5. It began in verse number 11. And it began with persecution. It began with great difficulty for those that are faithful to God. And I want you to know that God is sympathetic to our situation, but He expects us to shine. He expects us to continue on. No matter what we face, we need to shine on. I want you to look at this, and I want you to consider Galatians chapter 5 with me, verses 22 and 23. You can turn there if you want. We're going to talk about that in great detail. But I want you to look at it this way with me, if you would, as you go through that particular couple verses in your scriptures and see these things. When the world lives to hate, let our love shine on. When others only find sorrow, let our joy shine on. When they are falling apart, let our peace shine on. When the world is impatient, let our long-suffering shine on. When others act rudely, let our kindness shine on. When they are corrupted, let our goodness shine on. When the world wanders, let our faithfulness shine on. When others abuse, let our gentleness shine on. When they abandon restraints, let our self-control shine on. You see, we need to live the will of God, and it needs to shine from us. That's what we're commanded to do. The Apostle Paul ends his inspired letters of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Shine on. Continue no matter what you face. Continue to shine on. What does it take to give hope in a dark place? We need to know that because we're living in a place, although this world has great beauty, there's a whole lot of darkness in this world as well. What does it take to give hope for a dark place? Just a little bit of light to shine on. Jesus gave us the responsibility of shining the light so that others may see the light and seek it for themselves. The light of life is the hope that we cling to and we share freely with all those around us. There is an opportunity for us to consider where we are in this life because the light is shining. Take a look at where you are. Don't wander in darkness any longer if you have been. Have you been hiding your light? As a child of God, have you been holding it back and dimming it down so that others wouldn't see it? Well, this is the opportunity to begin to let it shine. Let it shine and continue from this point forward. Perhaps you're not yet a child of God. Are you tired of the world's dark ways? Because there is a better way. There's an opportunity to come to the light even this morning. The light of hope is shining for you. Come and embrace it, hold it high, and determine to never let it go by obedience to God right now. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His life for you so that you might live beyond this life. See, we've all condemned ourselves. We were reading earlier in John chapter number 3. Verse number 17 says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's interesting. Well, why didn't Jesus come to condemn the world? Because we are already condemned. We already did that to ourselves. He is trying to save us from this mess. And here we are, the same old people doing the same old things, the same old ways. So guess what we still do? We still condemn ourselves. But what does Jesus offer? He offers us the hope of salvation. If you are willing to believe in Him as the Son of God, repent of the sins in your life, submit to the water of baptism and have your sins washed away, you can rise and walk in the newness of life. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the joy of the newness of life, and join us on the road home. We are striving to get to a place called heaven, and all the way there, we're going to shine our lights and bring as many people as we possibly can along the way. This morning, if you are a child of God, and you're not living the way you should, for whatever reason it might be, maybe things we talked about in the lesson, or maybe just something in your life that you've grabbed hold of that doesn't belong, you need to stop that. You need to repent of that sin. You need to pray to God for forgiveness. Get yourself back where you belong. If we can help you this morning, come to the Lord or back to the Lord. Let us help you as we stand and sing.